Hello and welcome to the Rigore podcast, the show that's over quicker than an English team's adventures in Europe. I'm Giancarlo Rinaldi and I'm joined as always by my cousin Marco. Marco, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing good, thank you, yes.
Five teams in the Champions, baby.
indeed, possibly six.
Yeah, indeed, not such a ridiculous one.
No.
But we'll get to that in due course. We're recording a wee bit earlier this week because the big game has just concluded. Fiorentina against Salernitana, an absolute humdinger of a Sunday afternoon snooze fest. But Fiorentina eventually got the job done and boosted themselves up so that they might be able to take advantage of their own efforts in Europe by finishing in a European place. It was a pretty dull game. I'm not going to dwell upon it very long. I mean, I think it showed the team selection showed that Fiorentina and Italiano have clearly prioritised, understandably, Coppa Italia with the big game coming up midweek against the second leg against Atalanta. They lead 1-0, but Atalanta going great guns at the moment, so that's going to be a big, big game for them. And got through in the Conference League with another boar that I'll get to in due course when we do our European review. But got the job done against Salernitana. Kwame, a lovely header, looping header from a Ranieri cross. And then Ikone, who seems to be hitting a wee bit of form, Salernitana, the curtains have gone round Salernitana quite a while ago. I think they're destined for Serie B, I would think, and so far adrift now that it's really just a battle between a few other teams in that one. The big result really that stood out to me at the weekend was Lecce getting their points there. I mean, I think, do you reckon they're safe, Marco? I think they're pretty much got the job done.
I think so. I think looking at the table and also bearing in mind form and stuff, I think they are safe pretty much. And to me, Empoli as well, I know they're still very much in the mix, but they look like a team that is in the right sort of form, along with Verona.
Whereas
teams like Udinese, Sassuolo, you know, they are going in the opposite direction, I fear.
What a sickener for Josh Doig that he left Verona to go to Sassuolo, which looked in the summer like a move up the way, but now doesn't look so much. I mean, obviously, Berardi injury's been a blow, but even prior to that, Sassuolo, just something's broken there. The form isn't great. Verona, as we've mentioned before, they seem to have found some magic, even though, you know, they dismantled their team pretty much over January. Baroni deserves a lot of credit if he does keep them up. But yeah, you're right. I mean, that does seem to be the form line, and that was a big, big win for Lecce. So hats off to them. As I say, I think they'd have to go pretty some lengths now not to stay afloat. But as you mentioned, Udinese's form pretty rotten, and that's led to another, I think it's a third managerial change of the season, but a familiar face coming in.
Well, indeed, a familiar face, but not such a familiar manager, maybe. I mean, Cannavaro, again, who knows? Past experience would suggest not the greatest of managers, but then, you know, hold my hands up, I thought maybe the same about De Rossi, and he's proven us wrong. The difference is, of course, that De Rossi was taken over at Roma and Cannavaro's taken over at Udinese, who are in poor form and relegation.
Exactly. And I think the other thing I would say, I mean, I think anybody looking at the Roma squad could see it was underachieving under Mourinho. You know, he had a bank of players there, and he got in on a kind of soft run of games. De Rossi's now confirmed that, you know, he does know what he's doing, and the players are buying into it. And it's just quite refreshing hearing him interviewed these days compared with Mourinho. Whereas in Udine, I'm afraid it doesn't look like a great squad of players, you know, and the form is atrocious. I think, you know, there's still a possibility for them to stay up, because, you know, they're not without quality, you know, and it just takes an injury to a key player of your rivals. But it's a fairly daunting task for Cannavaro, but he's always got a smile on his face, Cannavaro. That's so, you know, and that'll probably stand him in good stead. On managerial matters, we're recording before the biggest game, I suppose, in some eyes, bigger even than Fiorentina Salernitana, on Monday night, the Milan Derby, of course, and the game that could all Milan Isti will be hoping not, but the game that could give Inter the Scudetto. Now, we've said, I don't think we need to go over Inter, clearly the best team in Italy by quite a distance. Nothing much to say there, but it seems all but confirmed now that Stefano Pioli will be out the door. I mean, he's called for a kind of, you know, don't hand it to them kind of call to his players, but it does seem like it's the end of the road for Pioli at Milan. I think, though, be careful what you wish for, because Absolutely. Looking at the names that are being, I mean, it seems like Julian Lopetegui is the favourite for the job, but Galtier, I think, was another name that was mentioned in the mix. You know, I wouldn't be all that excited if I was a Milan fan. Would you, Marco?
No, definitely not. Not with the names that are being mentioned. And Milan as well seem to have taken this, just generally, the ownership seem to have decided that looking abroad is the way to go, not just in this manager, but also their approach to squad building and stuff like that, which, you know, if you compare that to the Milan of the past, it's a bit of a shame, really. Especially when, if there's one thing Italy has, it's an abundance of good managers. So, you know, I read, I don't know how true it is, but I read something that said that Thiago Motta would have been available to them if they had moved a bit earlier or something like that. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know, but at least he knows the league and he's proven himself at Bologna. It would be a more exciting appointment for me than one of these managers that I think could very easily come in, have a pretty mediocre start to the season and be booted out again.
They've got all the hallmarks of Rudy Garcia.
Yeah, Mark exactly.
Two to me. Yeah. That's. I mean, as I say, we may be sitting here next season.
Pleasing. I mean, we've said it. So Milan will win the league next year.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, fill your boots. You're right. We're notoriously incorrect in these things. But I mean, I think, you know, as I say, Milanisti, I don't think, you know, there's plenty want Pioli out, and that, you know, they're entitled to that. I still think he did. Yeah, things have come to maybe a natural end for him, but I still think delivering that Scudetto was, you know, over and above what could have been expected with the squad that he had. It's interesting. I think Milan just need to kind of find a direction and stick with it, I guess, you know, and it just feels a little bit like they're kind of, you know, plucking names out there. And the same I saw that it seems like most of the players can clear off in the summer as well. That seemed to be the suggestion that, you know, nobody was unsaleable. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you want to give, if it is Lopetegui, you want to give him the best, you know, the players he wants to play the football he wants. But it just, it was not an inspiring name. You know, I think there'd be other people that could have been plucked out of the managerial bucket of names.
Well, I just think Milan, how much more excited would Milan fans be if they, you know, poached De Zerbi or something like that. Someone that has upside potential, I would say, and plays an exciting brand of football and stuff like that. Now, I don't know, Lopetegui might, some might argue that he is both of those things as well, but he doesn't know the league, and I think that is a big thing. I think managers can come in from outside the league, try and do it their way and quickly get found out, as you were saying.
Yeah, well, I mean, and we got indeed the proof of how good Italian coaches are through the week in Europe, where, you know, this is interesting. You know, Jurgen Klopp has not swept all before him, but won plenty and generally of a weekend has a pretty easy shift in charge of Liverpool. But he got schooled by a 60-something Italian coach, Giampiero Gasperini. Obviously, there was going to be an Italian winner of the Roma-Milan game, and so there was. And Vincenzo Italiano eventually managed to limp his way past Victoria Poulsen. But no, it
And
does.
Ancelotti got past Man City.
Of course, true, as well. So, I mean, that was a right old ding dong game as well, and exciting stuff. It shows there's more than one way to win a game as well. You can sort of obsess about possession, but it gets to that. What you're saying there, that the Italian coaching school is still a pretty respectable school, and why look outside that? I mean, I know Thiago Motta, not strictly speaking 100% Italian, but still, I think they need to. I think it's a tough place just to, your tactics can get found out quite quickly. If you've got, you can be as kind of amazing as you like tactically. But Italian coaches will find a way to kind of pick holes in it, and that is still where it's a tough school. I would love one day to see Pep Guardiola come and manage in Italy, perhaps without the resources that he's had. There's no doubt he's a great coach, but it would be interesting, imagine him in the Milan job. That would be a really exciting prospect because it would be a new test for him, as I say, to try and do it. A great, great club, a club that's maybe a bit more down on its luck than some of the clubs he's managed recently, certainly financially. I think that would be interesting. But as I say, Atalanta got the job done against Liverpool. I was slightly worried they conceded a goal early on, but they actually controlled the game. And
especially
in the
second
second
half, they didn't risk anything at all. Liverpool didn't create a chance that I can think of. And it can be difficult, can't it, going into a game like that when you're so far ahead, knowing how to approach it. And with Liverpool getting an early goal, there was always that panic that they would then collapse. But they didn't. He totally shut them
took it
down,
in
and then
their stride,
Liverpool ran out of ideas.
They did, and they threw on everything they could. Didn't make any difference. Atalanta dealt with it. I mean, undoubtedly, it made a difference being at home rather than being away. I think
Definitely, yeah.
the great comebacks mostly are in front of your own fans, and probably if the cop had been there to cheer, then maybe an early goal would have made a difference. But away from home, they just coped with everything, held them at a distance, and got the job done. Obviously, hats off to De Rossi getting through as well. I mean, it's going to be tough, I think, for Roma, I think, by the looks of the draw, but still not an impossible task. And then just to briefly speak of Fiorentina, and I mean, it was almost the peak Fiorentina if they could have gone out to a team that didn't manage a shot. I mean, not even like off target, no shots whatsoever, and yet were taken to extra time. I mean, I spoke last week of how dull Poulsen were in their home game and how happy they were with the nil-nil, but they took their boring approach to even greater heights in the return leg. Whereas I say, I think they had two blocked shots in the whole game. Fiorentina had something like 34 attempts on goal, which that speaks its own story about Fiorentina, that it took them, beyond 90 minutes. I mean, it was infuriating that the first goal came about 1 minute and 20 seconds into extra time, when if it could have come 1 minute and 20 seconds
Exactly.
earlier, it would have saved a lot of time and effort. But I suppose it added to the excitement, Nico Gonzalez getting the goal, and then eventually, got the job done and got through. And not big run of games coming up for Fiorentina, but Club Brugge don't look, an impossible prospect for them. And the only what slight fly in the ointment was Aston Villa getting through in the other side of the draw, which, just that man Emery's got an amazing record in European football, and also Emi Martinez is one of the most annoying.
Hateable footballers.
Yes,
Obviously,
exactly.
if he's on your team, you absolutely love him,
Yeah,
but everyone
yeah.
else absolutely hates him. So,
Yeah, and revealing a rule that I never knew in
that's true,
football, that he got the second yellow card, but because it was in the shootout, that didn't mean a
Very
sending
strange
off.
rule.
I don't know
Don't know
why
what.
that is, and I don't know what would happen if he did get sent off. I'm not sure what the
I suppose someone
rules
else would
are.
have to go and go.
So I mean, that would be a big advantage.
Yeah.
But as I say, I've got that sort of spectre hanging over me. Not to go beyond the semi-final already, because I mean, you know, that's with such a run of games, undoubtedly a difficult game for Fiorentina. But just the thought of playing an English team in the final again, and a team, as I say, with a manager that seems to have some kind of magic,
and a team wearing those colours.
Exactly. Yeah, I know, it's horrible. It's like, as I say, it's sort of like bringing me some kind of PTSD or something. I think is coming back to me there. So, but fingers crossed that'll not happen, and Aston Villa will go the way of all other English teams and out in this, making it to the semi-finals, and that would clear a path for Fiorentina to lift the trophy. I was going to say, Marco, just quickly on international news, I don't know if you spotted that Destiny Udoji picking up an injury this week that rules him out for the rest of the season and for the Euros. I mean, how big a blow, I know you're a fan, how big a blow do you think that is for Italy's Euro prospects?
I mean, obviously he wasn't, I don't think Spalletti would have been starting him anyway, so I suppose in that sense it's less of a blow, but he is, to me, one of, you know, in the future he'll be a key player for Italy. It would have been good for him to be at this tournament for that reason alone, just to get the experience. But also, I think our full-backs are decent, well, more than decent, actually. You know, Di Marco and Di Lorenzo is a good combo, but if one of them goes down, then he was a great player to step in. And he also had that ability to play wide going forward as well, if that's how you want to play it as well. So I think, yeah, it's undoubtedly a blow, but yeah, we just have to hope it's not too
not a fatal one. I think we could maybe see. And the other question that was, I saw doing the rounds, I was just going to get you a quick, we'll just need a one word answer on this one: Vicario or Donnarumma?
Vicario, I suppose. Yeah, I mean, although I don't know, I feel a bit sorry for Donnarumma, because I feel that the criticism he gets is a bit over the top, I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, I did feel some sympathy for in the commentary when I was watching PSG. They were expecting him to come and do miracles. I mean, yes, he isn't that convincing on a cross for a big guy. He doesn't sort of throw himself about, but that's not his style, really. I mean, his style is always making great saves, and he still makes quite a few great saves. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. That's going to be a headache, I think, for Spalletti potentially.
I think it'll be very difficult for him not to play Donnarumma.
Yeah, well, as I mean, but because his form's not great, though, you know, and that's going to be, if he makes even a minor mistake, the clamour to get rid and say that he maybe should have got rid. Anyway, that's an issue. That's an issue for the summer. That's something to worry about. Bigger matters, of course, down in Serie B, where it was draws galore.
It was,
But luckily for us, one team that we love did win, although made it a bit tricky for themselves.
Yes, we managed to beat bottom of the table, Lecco, but it was after a first half that was pretty dire. We had a lot of the ball, but did create nothing. And once again, our defence, I mean, it was a nice finish by the boy, but
Svoboda? I wonder who it was that got beaten a bit easy.
Svoboda let him pass far too easily, but you know, credit to Vanoli, he changed things at half-time. He brought on three new players, and that did change. Immediately after half-time, we were suddenly a lot more dominant and more aggressive in terms of winning the ball and creating chances. And it didn't take long before Poyan Palo had probably the easiest goal he'll score all season, unmarked at a corner at the far post, which is an interesting choice by Lecco defence. But and then Buzio quickly got us ahead, and then after that it was pretty plain sailing, particularly as Lecco got a man sent off. So Cremonese drew again, so you know that third place is certainly starting to look a bit safer. We obviously play Cremonese next game, so that is a huge game. Como got the win. You know, funny, I think if there was a couple more games, it would be Parma that I would be looking at, because they seem slightly shakier.
Their form is not great, whereas Como seem to be, well, the resources that they've got, they should be hitting their stride really inward. So, as you say, though, the time's maybe running out to catch those two, and it could be the playoff. I mean, playoff route.
I feel we're playing Cremonese, then we're playing Catanzaro away, which are two huge. You know, that's they're the two teams right below us, and very difficult games. But I don't know. I feel if we could get 6 points out of those games, it would be obviously third place would be wrapped up at that point. But also, you've just got to think that Como, on the run of form that they've been on, yes, it's phenomenal, but you feel that they will slip up at some point, especially in Serie B where there are no easy games. That it could just come along at the wrong, something could come along at the wrong time for them. So I think third place is vital because it gets you home legs for the playoffs in both the semi-final and the final if you get there. And also you finish higher, so if it's a draw, then
Definitely tilts everything in your favour. I was just looking today to see who it would be that you would potentially meet if you did finish. If it finished as now, Catanzaro would play Samp and you would play the winners of that one, which would be a tasty old, tie, to be fair. So, you know, things shaping up is an interesting, you know, it'd be a prolonging of the season, perhaps a painful one, but you know, just the same, you'd rather be in it than out of it. And as you say, to get the third place could be vital because it gives you that home return leg, doesn't it? Twice or whatever, and the advantage of sort of the draw fevering you as well. So could be a key moment. But aye, as I've seen, seven draws, which interestingly was mirrors Serie A, but we could actually see a record set during the week. I don't know if you're aware of this, Marco, but when Roma have to play the remaining 18 minutes of their game with Udinese, if there isn't a result in that game, that weekend will be the most drawn weekend in Serie A history. Eight out of the 10 games will have been a draw. But there was some, I would just briefly ask you about there's some chat that maybe the league could have been a bit kinder to Roma given the fact that they've progressed in Europe, and I saw some complaints about them having to play this kind of game, obviously, and they have to trail it's an away game, so they have to go away. I mean, do you have any sympathy with that?
I do. I think the league in these sorts of positions should try and help clubs out, but in their defence, I think the difficulty is that Udinese are, as we discussed, right in the midst of the relegation battle. So postponing it would give them an unfair advantage, I feel, against the other teams down at the bottom of the table
as
well.
That's true.
So, you know, I suppose as well, it's only, 18 minutes or something like that.
That's the one thing. I mean, although, you know, it's still, I suppose, logistically, it's a pain in the ass to get all the way to Udine for that. But, I mean, you know, it's interesting because Fiorentina have got a not dissimilar situation with the Atalanta game to get. That's a full game, though. And it looks like that one could actually be played after the end of the season, which would be, you know, could be nonsensical, really. I mean, it could potentially be quite a big game in terms of deciding European places. But they just, I mean, equally, what can they do? There isn't anywhere, you know, because those two teams have now progressed in Europe and they're in the Coppa Italia, there isn't a midweek free. So I don't know how you resolve it. But yeah, you always like to just to give, we're all for giving Italian teams the best shot they can in Europe. And, you know, I think that a degree of sympathy there to say, well, that's not really helping Roma ahead of a big game. You know, toughest test yet for De Rossi probably, so you know it's a shame that's there. We can only hope it goes well.
I know, and it's not like he can just say, right, I'll put out some reserves.
no, that's right. No, he has to.
That were on the pitch.
Yeah, exactly. So that's that. But I mean, fingers crossed, goes without incident, and they get they keep the colours of Italy flying in Europe, because we're here for it. We're here for six teams in the Champions and Absolutely. 10 teams in Europe. And that, what a season for the Rigori podcast that'll be. But anyway, we've probably rumbled on quite sufficiently. I mean, we'll be back next week. I think we'll be on our usual time, because I believe Fiorentina are playing Sassuolo late on Sunday, so record at our more habitual time. But in the meantime, if you've enjoyed listening to us, please let everyone know. share it around, or you know, send it to fans of English football as well to get up there, to get up their noses, because we're crowing. The Farmers League is crowing for the time being. You've got to, you know, as my uncle Carlo told me, you've got to stick the boot in whilst you can. So whilst we can enjoy it, let's enjoy it, and as I say, share it, and then we'll be back next week with more of this nonsense.
Yeah, speak to you then.